It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, that's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebach Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushu Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Rutherford is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Yeah, that's right.
That's always exciting. I love that opening. All the different people you talk to is so cool. I like that.
Well, there are so many more that were not included. But, I mean, if I included everybody, it would be, you know, it took roughly, 3 hours, I guess, to piece that together, 3 hours, 8 days a week. But to get everybody in there, I mean, this intro would have been, you know, 5-10 minutes long, just, you know,
yeah.
but it is great. And tonight we're going to add two more to it. So
we're going to add two more,
you know,
to it.
Two more guests are going to come on tonight from the great state that we're going to be discussing. And it's great to have them on. And, you know, I wish I could squeeze them all in there, but I'd either have to speed it up to where you wouldn't hear who they were, or it'd be, 5-10 minutes. Which sometimes we need because we're still talking, and it's like, oh, we got to go.
Oh, here he goes.
You know?
Yeah.
The hairstylist comes in, the makeup people come in, you know, trying to fix us up for, even though it's radio, we still get the Hollywood treatment, you know. Well, you get more of a Hollywood treatment because you're the star of the show.
Well, and I'm older.
You know, and it's funny because sometimes you see Ron and, you know, he's over at the winery and everything. He's got a limo parked outside and a driver waiting for him, and I'm like, I don't have that. I you know, ride up in my beat up jalopy and everything. But you know, because you're the star and you deserve it. You know, you do all the surface work. I'm the one underneath the water, you know, trying to find fossils and, you know, things like that. But you're doing all the above ground work.
But let's give you some kudos here too. Without you forming the pillars for me to be above water, there would be nothing for me to do. I mean, you're on there, you're doing the technician part of it, you're taking care of all the phone calls and taking care of all the stuff behind the scenes here. And
the phone calls. Here's my typical phone call. Yeah, Ron's doing a show tonight. Can you go fix him up and can you get the makeup and hairstylist again? Okay, thank you. And that's it. That's my phone call. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's only one of you? Okay, well, then skip me because, you know, go to Ron's place.
He needs it. Actually,
that's my phone.
I called Ashley at Churchill Vineyards today out in Nevada. She's going to be our guest on that at about 7:30 or 7:35 or so. And she goes, do you have a website? And I go, no. I said, we've got a Facebook page. And I said, it's All About Wine. She goes, All About Wine BTR. I see it right here. She says, is this you? And I go, I go, yeah, that's me. I said, very old picture. Ignore it, please.
Oh, how old is that picture? Because I even forgot where I got that from.
It was in a magazine article that we did that was done north here. That's about 3 years old, 4 years old.
Oh,
it
wow.
It was done before I had my eye lift, so my eyes are open now.
Okay. Well,
so I can actually see. Yeah.
We'll have to get some updated ones. We'll send up, the next call I make will be to a portrait studio to set
there
you up for professional headshots for your,
yeah,
for your show.
Either
do
that,
you know,
or just set up the digital camera across the room and hit the auto.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work.
That'll work. That'll do the same purpose.
Right. Yep. Well, that's the show tonight. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you all for tuning in. Listen to us chit chat. Bus people,
okay,
thanks for coming out anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, they're there. So I'll let you do that.
Beautiful here. Beautiful weather here in Florida, too.
Oh, yeah. And I hear we have a cold front coming in. It's going to drop our temperatures. Well, today it was only 91, I think. So that was cold. That was cold. And then
tomorrow night, Saturday night, the low is supposed to hit 65. Oh, my.
I know. Get the coats out.
Mm-hmm.
You can build a snowman in the front. That'd be cool. I heard on the weather this evening that it's supposed to dip like 25 degrees colder at night now. So that's 75. So we're going to be in the 20s soon. That'll be good.
Should be?
I wasn't good in math.
But then they're saying by the middle of next week, we're supposed to be back up in the 90s again.
Well, of course. It's only October.
That's right. Yeah. What do we expect?
Speaking of weather in different states, tonight's state tonight's state is what's it going to talk about? Nevada shortly.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Well, in fact, let's talk about Nevada right now.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, we have a couple of guests tonight from Nevada is very limited on their wineries, and we got two of them going to be joining us tonight. As we always do when we start a new state, though, I always tell you where it's located and give you a little background on it. Let me start out by doing that with Nevada. For those of you who are not familiar with where Nevada is, or if anybody's listening from outside the country, Nevada is in the western United States. It's bordered on the west by California, on the southeast by Arizona, on the east by Utah, northeast by Idaho, and northwest by Oregon. So it is way out there in the far west. The state is pretty mountainous. The host state has a lot of mountain ranges and ridges in it. Only 17 counties in the state, very big counties too. It surprised me when I looked up the counties. 17 counties, all very large counties, except for a couple of them. Carson City County is very small, and Story County is rather small, but the rest of them tend to be rather large. Lyon County and Douglas County all over at that end of the state. Two major highways running through Nevada, I-80 through the northern part of Nevada. I've traveled it many times. Beautiful, beautiful route through northern Nevada. And then in south Nevada, I-15, Interstate 15, that comes out of northern Arizona, that area there, and goes right through Las Vegas and Spring Valley and all that. Our wineries we're talking to today, the first one's going to be right out of Las Vegas, and the second one is going to be on up in the northern part out of Carson City, which is the capital of Nevada, Carson City, which is located just south of Reno and Sparks, Nevada, that part of the state. Elevation in Nevada, it is a very high state. The Boundary Peak is the highest point in the state, and that runs a whopping 13,140 feet of mountain peaks up there, the Sierra Nevadas and all the mountains there. The lowest point is the Colorado River at only 479 feet. And I don't know if they counted the Colorado River right on the surface of the river, because if they did, obviously that's going to cut in a lot further, which is in the southeast corner of the state with the where Boulder Dam is and Lake Mead and all that. The rivers are running west. Most of them are running west or south out of Colorado. There's a few just small rivers that run through the state itself, but don't exit anywhere just because they're stuck within the mountains and all that. We are going to be talking to a couple of wineries, one in southern Nevada today, and that is going to be Pahrump Winery, Pahrump Valley Winery, I'm sorry. Pahrump Valley Winery is, I guess Mike is out to find them now. Are you out there, Mike? Are you? Yeah, I think he's trying to get a hold of Bill. We're going to have Bill join us from Pahrump Valley Winery. Quick story about Pahrump Valley Winery. I want to tell you though. Back I think I mentioned before that at the winery I am trying to get wines from every state in the nation, and I've got 46 of the 50 states so far, and everybody says, which ones you missing? North and South Dakota, Wyoming, and Louisiana. But I had one from Nevada, and the bottle broke. So I contacted Pahrump Valley Winery, where it was from, and I asked, do you have a bottle of wine? I explained to them I was trying to get everyone, and they were very accommodating. They sent me a very nice Zinfandel, a first growth Zinfandel, beautiful, gorgeous wine. I have to tell you, it was the first one grown in Nevada, and it was gorgeous. I absolutely loved it. It was just beautiful. I shared it in a class that we were doing. Everyone in the class loved it, too. It was one of the best wines we ever shared in the class. Contacted them out there and told them it was wonderful. I sent them a couple of wines, my orange and my key lime. They emailed me back. Gretchen, who is the owner, and Gretchen emailed me back and said that they enjoyed it on the back porch watching the sunset over Pahrump Mountain. So I was quite pleased that they enjoyed mine as much as I did theirs. We have Bill from Pahrump Valley Winery joining us now. He is going to tell us about the winery, a lot of history, the oldest one in Nevada. So, Bill, I'd like you to come on the air. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. I don't know if you heard me tell that story or not.
I came in at the tail end, but yes.
All right. Well, you and Gretchen have exchanged wines with me.
Okay.
You sent me your Zinfandel, your first growth Zinfandel.
Okay, but, gotcha. That was the 2005 Zinfandel.
Yeah, beautiful, gorgeous, absolutely fantastic wine. But I've noticed on your list of wines, you don't have a Zinfandel.
I've got a Zinfandel right now, but it's a Lodi Zinfandel, which is obviously out of California. As you well know, we make wines from both Nevada and California grapes.
Right.
The Nevada Zinfandel is such a short production. We have such small quantities of it. It sells out quite quickly.
Ah. Okay. Because it was fantastic. I have to say it was just a wonderful, wonderful Zinfandel. You did an excellent job on that, and I wrote and praised you through an email on that also. So,
About the Pahrump Valley Winery, you said?
Yes. Tell us about Pahrump Valley Winery.
Well, real simple. Pahrump means water from rock. This used to be an area that was inhabited by early settlers, and then prior to that, the Indian population. Because of the amount of water out here in the desert, we've got artesian wells. And the winery was built in 1990. We weren't involved at that time, and that made it the first winery in the state of Nevada. We're about 50 miles outside of Las Vegas in the Mojave Desert. And there was quite a bit of research done, and this has actually got a tremendous amount of potential as a grape-growing area. We're on a hillside, alluvial fan, rocky, sandy, loamy soil, perfect for grape-growing. But anyway, the winery was open in 1990. It kind of drifted along for years. It never really had the TLC that it probably needed. And then 2003, Gretchen and I discovered this. We were not looking for a winery. But I saw a diamond in the rough. We got interested. One thing led to another. We ended up buying it. Now she is a fantastic winemaker, and I'm the husband that drinks it.
I like that method. I like that. That sounds like here. I'm the winemaker
here,
and Kathy, my wife, is one that drinks it. So
I got the best job in the world. So.
Well, very good. That's so you've been in existence just a couple years short of what we have down here then.
Okay.
With you running, we opened in 2001. You mentioned the soil, rocky, loamy, sandy soil. It just really sounds perfect for it. And the artesian wells, is that what you use for the everything there?
No, we don't. We do use, we use groundwater, of course. Not the artesian wells, but the soil here is really quite good. And we found as long as we backhoe it or trench it, rip it real good, the vines will just take off like a rocket. We planted some one-year-old Syrah vines, about 1,100 of them here, a couple of years ago. We got our first harvest this year, And I've been buying a lot of Syrah fruit out of California for years, both Paso Robles, Sierra Foothills, Mendocino. And we thought the juice was every bit as good as anything we had ever purchased out of California. We are massively excited about it. We get a little bit of excessive heat here. However, there's some trade-offs. We do not get the humidity that they get in California. So we don't have those issues. We don't have phylloxera issues here. And we've
wow.
learned how to deal with the heat. So we are absolutely confident that there's only two things that would stand in the way of this state becoming a serious player in grape growing, and that would be either local or state government.
Yeah,
so,
well, yeah. I always ask every time I interview someone. That's when the questions always come up. And you know, how's the state treat you? Good, or how's the government treat you? Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. You wish they were dead.
Well, they're pretty indifferent to us here because it's such a small industry. They're really focused on gaming and mining. We kind of live under the radar, if you will. We like it that way. They kind of leave us alone. But I'll tell you an interesting fact. I bet you nobody listening to this show right now would understand this. The two largest counties in Nevada are Clark County, which is Las Vegas, sits in the center of it. And the other one is Washoe County, which Reno sits in the center of that county.
Uh-huh.
Those two counties, by state law, it's illegal to have a winery in those two counties.
Is it really?
Yeah,
wow.
I always kid everybody that that Las Vegas doesn't want a winery soiling their image. That's a joke.
Well, I know. I mean, it's just... there you go. Thank you, Mike. Mike is listening. Good. See, Mike, that's why I keep you around.
That's all got to do with control of the liquor flow and everything. But that's one of the reasons why the winery's out here. But it also is dumb luck. This area that we're in is terrific. I just had one of the largest grape growers in California, Gary Argabinginian, came out here about 6 months ago, looked at both this vineyard that we're running and another couple of them that are within Nevada, but a few miles north of here. And he was stunned by the quality of the soil and the growing and was all over the idea coming out and developing more vineyards.
Wow.
So,
well, you know, while I was doing research for the program and always look into different things about and all that, mm-hmm. and I ran across a thing that I have to let you know about. It said farmland used to grow hay or grain in Nevada yields about $400 to $800 per acre, while vineyards yield about $5,000 to $10,000 per acre. So tourism in grape growing areas helps support other businesses and attractions and has a greater impact with wine sales themselves. That's a quote from an article a blog article, I read. And, you know,
they probably got that from me because myself and another fellow in the northern part of the state have been preaching that to the state now for the last couple of years. We use way less water than the state's largest crop. We produce way more income, and we encourage tourism, so it's a win-win-win situation. But from a government standpoint, they're really very focused on the gaming. That's the huge pot of gold. And
literally.
I mean, that's
literally.
Just the way it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
So do you have any problems with selling and distributing and shipping and all that? Because,
no.
I mean, you...
No, we're fine on that. No, we're fine on that. We do just fine. We ship to about 30-some-odd states. We ship all over the state of Nevada. We've got good distribution with Southern Wine and Spirits here in the southern part of the state. So we have really no problems with the state. We have no problems with them. Just that one oddity about that law. When you look at it for a moment, California is just to our west. Here's what we're surrounded by: California, Oregon, Idaho, and Arizona, and they're all proven growing areas.
Yes, yes.
And I think one of the reasons that people are shocked about Nevada is just that it hadn't been done before. I think 10 or 20 years from now, you're going to see different vineyards and wineries in the state. I have no doubt.
It, you know, when Well, the question arises then, I noticed, and you were talking about the other winery up north, probably Churchill Vineyards,
uh-huh,
right?
Churchill, that's exactly it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I talked to Ashley up there, and I mentioned, she asked if I had anyone else on the program, and I told her you were going to come on, and she had praises for you and the winery and everything. I found that, what, you got Churchill, you've got Tahoe Ridge, and you've got Pahrump Valley. Why only three? I mean, it just seems like, you know, from what you're just saying, the soil is there. The government doesn't mess with you. You can do just about what you want. Why only three?
Well, it's an unproven commodity until just of late. I will be honest with you, the northern part of the state is struggling a little bit more because they do get deep freezes up there, and we don't down here. So they're just kind of threading that needle, figuring out which is what it's going to grow down there. Down on the southern part of the state where the climate is substantially different, there has just not been a lot of interest in it. And I think a lot of that's got to the fact is the fact that we are so close to California that has kind of taken the oxygen out of the room. But I do believe that that's all going to change over the years. We do have one issue here. And that is water rights. You can have the greatest soil on the planet and the right growing conditions, but if you don't have access to affordable water, that's an issue.
Right.
So some of the land is kind of off limits because of that.
What you would think, though, that California, I mean, you go to any area that you're going to get a decent grape, and you can. Yeah, well, Napa's out of the question. Sonoma's out of the question. Paso Robles, Monterey, anything, even as far south as Temecula. And it's going to cost you a tremendous amount of money per acre just to get the land. You would think that in Nevada it's going to be a lot less.
It is, and like I say, I think because we're an unproven commodity in this state, it's been overlooked for so long, I think we're starting to change that. One of the reasons the success of the Zinfandel that you mentioned earlier, that 2005 Zinfandel, now wrap your brain around this, that was the state of Nevada's first commercial red wine in state history. And
history?
We produced it in state history. That's the state of Nevada's first red wine. It's an estate-grown Zinfandel. We only had 100 cases. We released it in 2008. We submitted it to 8 different wine competitions around the United States, walked out with 7 national wine awards, including a gold medal at the Pacific Rim International Wine Festival in California. We took a gold over all the California Zinfandels.
Congratulations.
So it's gotten some attention. CNN picked up on it. They just did a big story on us here a few months ago. The LA Times and a few of the California newspapers wrote very glowing articles about that. So I think that we're starting to getting a little bit of notice now. But it's still good. You know, it takes time, as you well know. It takes time to find the land, develop it, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, congratulations on that. That wine, believe me, I you know, it was phenomenal. I can see why you did win the awards on it. You mentioned something earlier about a little bit about the weather there, the climate, summer highs and lows, winter highs and lows, rainfall of tell us all about that stuff there.
The weather is really not that bad. I'll tell you why. Calistoga is the the most northern region of Napa Valley. Our climate is not a whole lot different. They can be at 105 in the summer. We can be at 105 in the summer.
Wow.
So we do not get quite the cooling in the evening that they will get. And so in that sense, we've got a little bit of a disadvantage, not a big one. Rain is almost non-existent here, so we have to use drip irrigation, and so that works just fine. And the only thing we have found that is very useful is that we need to let our canopies become a little bit more vigorous, a little bit more robust, to provide a little extra shading to keep those grape clusters a little cool down, and that seems to be doing the trick very quite nicely. We get bud break here about a month before California does, and we end up harvesting about a month earlier than California does. So our growing season is pretty close to the same length. So we've got the sunshine. We know we need that. We've got the soil. We know we need that. And we've got the water. So all of those things combine, and our only disadvantage is a little bit of excessive heat, but that's not unusual in Australia, parts of California. You just plant the right varietals, and then canopy manage them the right way, and you're gonna do just fine.
You mentioned no humidity though. That's a big plus right there.
That's a very big help. We don't have any problems with any mildew or rot or any of those things. Those grapes just do not have those problems. So there's a trade-off. You get in certain parts of the coast, and they were out there trying to get heat on those grapes and trying to warm them up and trying to dry them out, and we don't have those issues. So, there's very few perfect places, although I can think of a couple of them, Russian River Valley being one, that are just absolutely spectacular, but the rest of us have to work for a living. And so,
well, then your winter highs and lows – run
winters, you know, the winters were in the mid to high 50s here, 60s, even the low 70s, and we very seldom hit freezing here. And by then, the vines are completely dormant, so even if we do fall below freezing, there's no problem at all.
So you don't have to worry about any cold, hardy grapes then, because you're not getting a long enough freeze or long enough cold ground to make a difference.
That is correct. And even if it was cold, as long as the vines are dormant, it's not going to cause a problem. Where the problem comes in is if you get a late freeze in the spring, once the sap has started to move through the vines,
right,
that's what causes the damage, like a broken pipe in a cold climate. And we, in the 9 years we've been here, we have not had a problem. So I should knock on wood right now.
Yeah, definitely. What grapes do you have? How many acres of each, and what do you have?
Well, here at the winery, we've got about 3 acres of vines, and it's split pretty evenly between Zinfandel and Syrah. Many of your listeners are going to know that as Shiraz. And then we've got several other vineyards that we work with that we lease. We've got 5, 6, probably about 10 more acres that we have under contract. They can go from as low as 2 acres up to 5 acres. And those vineyards are primarily things like Barbera, Tempranillo, Zinfandel, Syrah, which are all hardy grapes in the heat. They like the heat, they're fine in the heat, and they just seem to do spectacularly well. We're very, very pleased.
Where are those vineyards? Are they in Nevada also or California?
Oh, no. These are all, I'm only talking about Nevada vineyards.
Are they? Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, then, may I make a suggestion? You make a Barbera. I love a Barbera.
We've got Barbera, Nevada Barbera, in barrel as we speak right now.
Do you?
Aging. Yes, we do.
Fantastic.
And I also buy Barbera out of the Sierra Foothills in Northern California, Amador County, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I fell in love with the Barbera years ago, and it's hard to find a good domestic, meaning United States, Barbera. You know, so it's great.
That's a great wine.
I will look forward to your website having it listed on that. So,
okay.
Let's see. I'm looking at my notes here. Nevada doesn't have an AVA, does it?
No, just the state. That's it. We're just too small. That's going to be a ways off. We're going to have to just figure out what does well where. You know, as we're starting to collect that data right now. Right now, there's only a handful of us in the business. I always say that the entire industry can fit in a van. And so it's a pretty small industry right now. Churchill Vineyards actually has the largest single vineyard in the state with 15 acres. So that kind of gives you an idea the scope in this state. The next largest vineyard's 5 acres. So we we're small. We got a ways to go.
But with the capabilities, it's amazing that, again, I go back to the fact that it's amazing that more of the big wineries don't purchase land and start doing something from there.
Well, you know, who knows? Maybe that's going to change in the future. Maybe that's happening right now, and I just don't know it.
Your wines. Let's talk specifically about your wines that you make here. Since we start with the reds on the website, a Burgundy, a Cab, and a Merlot. Tell us about each one.
Okay. Well, the Burgundy is kind of a special proprietary blend. It's a sweeter red wine, so it's not dry, and it doesn't have any tannin. So this is really kind of the everyday plate of spaghetti wine. That's a huge seller for us. Our Cabernet, the Cabernet that we're offering right now, comes out of Nevada County in California, oddly enough. It's called Nevada County, which is up near Grass Valley, those areas, north of Sacramento, from a place called Penn Valley Vineyards, the really a spectacular 260-acre vineyard. We get our Cabernet Merlot out of there. But many of the wines that we offer are not on our website because they're so new, and we've developed three additional brands. And so right now we're offering things like Barbera, Old Vine Zinfandel, Cabernets. We've even got a Willamette Valley, Oregon Pinot Noir that we have on our wine list right now. So we're up to about 23 wines, but we don't make 23 wines a year. I want to make that clear. So, because we'll alternate years. We might make 2 years of the Cab 1 year and 2 years of the Merlot the next, and that sort of thing, and alternate so that we can handle that many wines and not try to make them all at the same time. So it's been a lot of fun. For us, what we've been doing is doing a lot of experimenting with growing regions and different varietals in small quantities to find out what we like and where we like it. And our whole goal is to establish the perfect vineyard for each varietal on everything that we do, whether it be Nevada or California, so that we have a good, solid relationship with the grower, and et cetera.
Jumping over to the white, to Symphony, very few wineries make that. Some of the places we've talked to around the country will see that offered, but very few. Why did you decide to go with the Symphony?
Well, I'd love to be able to take credit for that discovery, but that was done by the previous owner. It's a phenomenal grape. We do about 30 tons of it a year. It is grown in the Lodi region of California. It's a white grape that likes the heat, oddly enough, because it's got a very thick skin. And makes a nice floral, sweeter wine. We make it in a sweeter style. You don't have to make it sweet. It's actually a hybrid grape. The name of the varietal is Symphony. That's actually the name of the varietal. It's a designer grape from UC Davis. They took a Grenache Gris and a Muscat, and they bred them together and created a new varietal. So it's a very interesting grape. We've won tons of awards on it. It's so popular that we named our white linen restaurant after that wine. Our restaurant is called Symphonies.
Oh. Yeah, I noticed you have a very attractive restaurant there, too. How can listeners, myself, anyone, find out the whole list of your wines that you do have available?
Well, they're not currently all listed on our website right now because of the fact that they're not all offered for shipping. But they can call us. We can easily send them a list. But our website has our main wines that are sort of our bread and butter wines. And if I could have the liberty, can I give your listeners our website?
I would like you to give all that information. Well, your website, your address, your phone number, your email, everything. So if anyone wants to get a hold of you or visit you or anything, they got everything they need.
Well, it's real simple. Their website, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that, by the way, but our website is real simple. It's PahrumpWinery.com, but now let me spell Pahrump because it's easy to mangle. It's PahrumpWinery. That's PahrumpWinery winery.com. Just that simple. We've got a link to our email, our phone number, our hours, directions, all that stuff right there. We're located about 45 to 55 minute drive straight west of Las Vegas, over a very gentle little mountain range, and then you come down into the desert. There's a town of about 40,000 people. We're on the edge of town. Our phone number is 800-368-9463. That's 800-368-9463. And those are probably the easiest ways to get a hold of us, just on the Internet.
Fantastic. Couple of questions. Stainless steel. Do you use stainless steel a lot?
Well, obviously on our whites we do, and our rosé and sweet wines we'll use stainless steel. And then on the reds, we use almost exclusively fermentation bins and then oak barrels. And what you may be alluding to is the Chardonnay, whether or not we're oaking our Chardonnay. We currently are doing a little bit of both. We will do about half in stainless and about half in wood, and then blend it together so we get a nice balance. Keeps the nice crisp acidity without it being too over-oaked, but yet get a little bit of that wood character on it that people like.
The oak barrels you're using, where are they from? What French, American, European?
We use about 75% French and about 25% American. Not because we like French better. That's just the way we started out. But I see over the years that we'll drift more and more into American oak barrels as I am becoming a big believer that the American oak barrels now have become really quite excellent. They're not the right barrel for everything, but
no.
They've gotten so much better from everybody I've talked to over the last 10 or 15 years. And a lot of our wines do really, really well in the American barrels. So, we're doing a little bit of experimenting with the Hungarian oak barrels, and we like those. They seem to be kind of a balance between American and French. They seem to kind of occupy a space sort of in between.
Where are you getting your American barrels?
Our American barrels, we get them from everywhere, anybody from World Cooperage to Canton and Keystone Cooperages, and the French barrels, Seguin Moreau and a few of the others.
I've talked to quite a few wineries, and I'm hearing praises for Minnesota oak and Texas oak.
Yeah, now, Minnesota oak I'm definitely familiar with, being a Minnesota boy myself.
Ah.
But Texas oak, I'm not familiar with that. That's the first time that you just broke some news for me here.
Yeah,
that's
Minnesota oak and
that.
Texas oak. That's I'm hearing praises of the different ones we're talking to.
Interesting.
So, it's been, I don't know. People are praising both the Minnesota and Texas oak, so it's something to mm-hmm. check into. Anyway, you can see what they have to say. So.
Well, Minnesota with that cold weather creates a nice tight grain. I think
yes.
is what causes that, and so we've had really good luck with it. You know, and Wisconsin, that whole area, and in Pennsylvania, any place that gets really good four seasons, I think, produces good oak.
Good oak on that. And one more thing, you have a grape stomp coming up in a week or so here.
Uh-huh. That is our weekend madness, crazy. I call it, if I may use the expression, I call it Woodstock for seniors. Because it is it's a heck of a ride. Last year we expanded it to 2 days, October 8th and 9th, so it'd be a week from tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. It's an all-day event. A lot of food, a lot of wine, a lot of music, but we do the grape stomp competitions where people stomp inside of a half a barrel of grapes to see who can get the most juice at the end of the day.
Right.
And it's very competitive. We sell out every year. Last year we had about 4,000 people here.
Wow.
And we're just got our fingers crossed right now because the weather report right now says there might have some thunder showers on Saturday, but it's iffy. So we're kind of on our knees and crossing our fingers.
Well, we'll hope and keep our fingers crossed for you, too. Bill, thank you very much for joining us tonight or this afternoon in your time. It was a pleasure and enjoyable, and I'm glad I finally got to actually talk to you besides, you know, exchanging wine with you. And if you get an opportunity, go on to send me an email with a list of your wines if you have them on an email.
Will do. It's definitely been my pleasure.
And thank you very much, and good luck with your event next weekend.
I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Fantastic. Enjoyable. A lot of fun with Bill. And waiting patiently, we have Ashley from Churchill Vineyards. And one of the first things we need to ask Ashley, if it's Churchill or Churchill. So, Ashley, you there with us?
I'm here.
Well, fantastic. And I want to say something else, too. On your website, there's pictures of your husband all over the place, but none of you.
Uh-huh. I know. I need to get my picture up there.
That is by design, not by mistake.
That's right.
Yeah. Is it Churchill?
To answer your question, it's Churchill, one word, with one H.
With one H, so Churchill. Tell us about Churchill Winery, how the name came about, how you all came about being there, everything about the winery.
Sure. Well, we're located in Churchill County, and that's where we got the name for Churchill Vineyards. And we started in 2001 when we planted our first vines. And we did it in cooperation with the University of Nevada, Reno. And we planted 11 different varieties of vinifera grapevines. And
wow.
We did everything from a Gewurztraminer, Chardonnay, Merlot, you know, reds, whites, anything you can think of. We kind of planted it all and let them grow. And from there, we determined which ones were doing good and which ones were not. And we decided to plant a second vineyard in 2003 with Riesling, Semillon, Gewurztraminer, and Pinot Gris.
You guys are aggressive.
That's kind of how we got started.
Yeah, you've been planting aggressively. Who, you and your husband take care of everything then?
Yes, my father-in-law, Charlie, and my mother-in-law, Debbie, they are the ones who started it. And I think like Bill said, we have about 15 acres out here, which is the most for the state of Nevada. And my father-in-law started it because it's an alternative crop that's high yielding. And it takes less water than an alfalfa field or a cornfield would use. So that's how we started.
And that's another thing. I don't know if you've been listening to the program, but Margot Bartlett Pisak, I believe it is, from Living Las Vegas Review Journal, had a article in on the internet, and it talked about.
Uh-huh.
Churchill Vineyards, and it's very flattering, but it said that studies have been done showing that the water usage for a vineyard is just a fraction of any other crop that's grown in Nevada. Also, the yield per acre for vineyards is like $5,000, $10,000 as compared to $400 to $800 for any grains. I mean, it just has to be. I don't know. It's a big difference there. So it's. Have you gotten any help from the state?
That's correct. The water usage is about 1/10 that of an alfalfa field, and we drip irrigate our vines. And we drip irrigate about once a week for 2 hours, and that's it. And the vines,
wow,
just, they love that stress, and they thrive in this climate out here. And they grow like crazy. They really do. And we're actually in the middle of harvest right now. And we are harvesting our largest yields that we've ever gotten. So we're really excited about that. You know, like I said earlier, we've been doing this for about 10 years. And this year's a wonderful year for us. We're very excited.
Yeah, I noticed your opening year was the same year that I opened the winery down here. So it's we're...
Uh-huh.
We're right at our 10th year anniversary ourselves here. The weather up there, Bill mentioned that you get a lot colder up there. What is your summer highs and lows and your winter highs and lows?
You know, Northern Nevada is kind of notorious for our temperamental weather. Sometimes we have really harsh winters. 2010 was a really rough winter for us. We got down to about, I think it was negative 19. You know, so every year is a little different, but our highs in the summer can be anywhere from, you know, 100 to 105. This year, I think we maybe hit 102. I'm not sure. We actually have a weather station that my father-in-law set up. We've got a link to that on our website, and it downloads the weather every 20 minutes. And that's also how we determined which varieties we were going to plant, is we monitored our weather. And we compared it to other grape-growing regions. And the University of Nevada, Reno really helped us with this. And they found that we have a similar climate to that of Eastern Washington, which is known for their Riesling. And Riesling here is one of our best growers and highest producers, largest yield in our vineyard.
Wow. The soil that you have there, what is that?
We have a sandy clay loam, is what my husband calls it, and you know, the vines just, they grow so fast and just shoot up in the summer. It's amazing. You know, you can leave for a couple days and come back, and you can just notice how much they grow. It's amazing.
Well, you Bill mentioned that you have no humidity in Southern Nevada. Do you get any up there?
Mm-hmm. No, we don't, and also. Kind of maybe to backtrack a little about our winters. We did put in two wind machines that turn on as our frost protectors, and those turn on in the fall and the spring before and after they go dormant. And that, I think, is what really saved us in these past couple years when we have those late frosts in the spring. You know, they'll turn on right at 32 degrees, and it'll raise the temperature of the vineyard just a couple degrees, and that's what saves those buds when they're starting to break open, you know.
So what time do you get, when do you get bud break there then?
You know, it's different every year. We actually had freezing weather in June up here, which our wind machines were turning on like crazy. And, you know, we live here on our property. We are an estate winery, and those wind machines turn on by our house, and it sounds like a helicopter's landing. You know, they turn on, and we kind of freak out, and then, you know, they turn off and turn on and turn off and things. But we had bud break around the end of May this year.
Oh, wow. Frost in June, it's amazing. And then
every year it's different.
But then you get so hot up to 103 degrees. Where are you located? I mean, are you in a valley? What's your elevation there? Give a little bit about exactly what type of elevation and all this we're dealing with there.
Sure. We're located on Highway 95, which is actually the highway that you would go on if you were traveling to Vegas, you know, down to go see Purim. And I believe we're at a 3,800 elevation here. I don't have the exact number. My husband would know that, though. And let's see, what else? We're kind of in a little banana belt here. And Fallon is known for their Hearts of Gold cantaloupe. And so we have a hot day and a cool night. And sometimes we have a 50-degree swing, which is really important for those sweet wines like your Gewurztraminers and your Rieslings, because they like that big temperature difference. They like the hot days and the cool nights.
Any reds?
You know, we do have some reds. We have a Merlot, a Limburger, a Malbec, and that one. We have one row of Cabernet Sauvignon. We haven't produced a wine off of those grapes yet that we are willing to release to the public, just because they're not of the quality that we would like to serve. But we do have them, and we're still experimenting and always trying new things.
Go through all the wines that you do have available, if you will, please, and tell us about each one.
Sure. All of our white wines are estate grown, so we sell a Riesling, and we blended our Semillon and our Chardonnay together, and a Gewurztraminer. And the Riesling is going to be a sweet white wine. It's not overly sweet. It's a perfect summer wine, low in alcohol, about 12.5%. The Gewurztraminer is a dry Gewurz. It's not overly sweet or syrupy, and it's served in a 750-milliliter bottle and not one of those small dessert wine bottles. And then we, like I said, we blended our Semillon and our Chardonnay. The Chardonnay is going to be aged on the oak, while the Semillon is aged in the stainless still, and then they're blended together. And it's just a 50-50 blend. And you can taste the oaky Chardonnay with the Semillon, which has a crisp citrus taste to it. And that's just one of my new favorite wines that we're making here. And then as far as our reds go, we, just like Purim, we get our fruit from California, and we sourced our Cabernet Sauvignon and our Petit Sirah from Lodi. And unfortunately, we can't grow them here, so we wanted to get a good red wine in, and Mettler Vineyards over there helped us with that. So,
why choose a Petit Sirah?
You know, we wanted to kind of balance all of our wines out, so we have something for everybody. So we've got the sweet white, a dry white, we've got a traditional cab, and then a big, bold, dark red wine. And I always like to tell people it's the manly wine, because it's what you would want to drink with your steak and your potatoes.
Yeah. Well, Petit Sirah, you know, the debate is still going on, I think, that the Petit Sirah might be just a Syrah, only not quite mature or overcooked or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, you don't hear about Petit Syrah as much as you just Syrah. But I've always felt myself that it's a completely different grape. And so...
it definitely isn't. And the Petit is actually the size of the grape. The difference, you know, Petit Sirah and Sirah is the size of the grape, and the smaller the grape, the more robust flavor, you know, deep color that you get in that wine. And that's the big difference with that.
Yeah, it's more skin contact compared to juice, and that really does it. I noticed on your website here, too, that you don't make a whole lot of any of this stuff. I mean, like the Petit Sirah.
No, we don't.
135 cases. The Cab, only 82 cases.
We're very small. We're a boutique winery. I'm 100% family-owned. We do everything, you know, from crushing the grapes to out in the vineyard, pruning the vines, harvest. We're only open by appointment only. We don't even have a traditional tasting room.
Oh, really?
You know, but if someone wants to come, we are only open by appointment. If someone wants to come, we're happy to accommodate them. We do small groups, but we don't have a restaurant like Perrance, but you know, we're a fully functional farm. My husband's a farmer. We have about 1,000 acres out here, and only 15 are in the vinifera wine grapes, and the rest is going to be in the grain crops for the dairies here in Fallon. So.
Oh, so, wow. I never realized that. So it's not just the winery itself. It is actually a farm that you're doing. So that
He's a farmer. He's a grower, and he's very into growing things, and he welcomes the challenge of putting in the vines, and loves to see things grow, and we're just so excited about it.
Well, so therefore, being a farmer is giving him the background to do some distilled spirits I noticed you make. Now, tell us about that venture.
Sure. We are the first distillery in the state of Nevada. And we got our experimental license in 2006. 2010, they finally granted us with our official distillery license. And just like I said, we have some red grapes that we haven't produced a good quality wine that we want to sell. We throw it in the distiller, and we distill it and make brandy, and we've made grappa. And then we also have some fields over here in rye, which we're going to be making some whiskey. We've got some barley. You know, we're just getting started on our distillery, but that's one of the things my husband's just so excited about.
So you're going to be doing spirits along with the wine then?
Yep. That's
fantastic.
Right.
It sounds like quite a venture. What are you using, oak or stainless steel or a little bit of both or what?
You know, we've used both. All of our whites are going to be aged on the stainless steel, with the exception to the Chardonnay, which is thrown on the oak. And then, you know, for our cabs and our Petit Sirah, we do use the French oak barrel.
The French oak, okay. The winter weather there, does that give your grapes any problems? I mean, you know, you start dropping down to, you know, minus degrees like you are there, that can't be good for the grapes. That's, you know, we've talked to different states around the country, Idaho and New York and Michigan and Minnesota and all that, and they said that, you know, trying to put some of the grapes that in the ground like you're doing there has been lost because they freeze. You haven't had that problem?
Yeah. You know, we've only had 1 year where we've had a pretty bad dieback rate, but besides that, when we get down to those freezing temperatures, the vines are dormant, so it doesn't hurt them as much. When it's really, you know, when that freezing weather comes in, the worst time is when they're coming out of dormancy or going in.
Right.
And that's what the wind machines really help with, because they can raise the temperature of the vineyard a couple degrees, and that's usually what it needs. But most of the time, when we get down to that negative 19 or negative 10, the vines are already dormant, and we've had huge success with all of our vineyards here, and it might be the variety. We've picked some hardy grapes, which are the Riesling, the Gewurz, Pinot Gris. You know, those are a little bit more hardy than maybe the Merlots and the Cabernet Sauvignons, and that's probably why we haven't had great success with those.
Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, those aren't cold weather grapes. I mean, basically, it's not made for that. You know, how far out of Reno are you?
We're about an hour away from Reno, we have people come out here for tours, you know, all the time, and we just hosted a big party for the Nevada Association of Counties, and about an hour away.
Fantastic. The Mike, do you have any questions? You're sitting there on hold. I see. You have any questions for Ashley here?
No, I was just looking at the events you have coming up, and then I went over to your weather station page, and I was just going to mention that it was, what was the last reading? It said 89 degrees, well, almost 90 degrees, and 14% humidity.
14%?
14%.
We are in Florida, Ashley. 14% humidity is unheard of.
It doesn't feel like it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Wow. I thought that was a typo. That has to be that's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
That's low.
You don't have any problems with any type of fungus or anything because of that low humidity, then, I would guess.
No, not at all. You know, we spray sulfur on the vines occasionally, you know, and that's really important if we get a rain or something. But for the most part, we've got very healthy vines that are, like I said, we're going to have our largest harvest. We picked our Gewurz and our Chardonnay this week, and, you know, just great yields on both of those. So we're really excited.
Fantastic. And go back to what Mike was talking about there, your events coming up here, a tractor and truffles.
Wonderful event. That's going to be taking place on October 15th, and it's a farm-to-plate dinner that the City of Fallon puts on. And we do a tour out here, and it's a full tasting of all of our wines. And then they have a nice dinner set up at a park here in Fallon where all the meat and the produce and the ingredients are local, locally grown. And they also serve our wine there and some local beer. And then they have a nice tractor show of antique tractors from a lot of the old-time farmers here in Fallon. And a nice performance by a wonderful artist and good concert. So that's coming up on October 15th.
Wow, sounds fantastic. Fallon, how big is Fallon? What's the size?
You know, it's small, and it's primarily a farming community. I would say about 30,000 people live here. And my husband's a fifth-generation Nevada farmer.
Ah.
And he's the fourth generation to farm this specific ground here that we have acquired. And his great-grandfather actually owned the first deeded property in Genoa. And just long-time farming community.
Wow. Interesting stuff. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike, I jumped in there. When you said the humidity, I had to comment on that.
Yeah.
You have any?
No, I was just looking at the events. You have a couple other. October looks busy over there.
We're really busy in October.
Yeah, see that.
We've got a Nevada Days coming up, and so we always like to do a big event for Nevada Day to support Nevada, and we're doing an event out at the market on South Virginia, a Nevada Day tasting, and we also support the local library here in Fallon, and they have a wonderful annual wine tasting event that they put on, and they feature our wines, and that's a fundraiser for the new library here in town. And then we also have a wonderful event out at the Flag Store, which carries a lot of the Made in Nevada products. And they produce these wonderful baskets that are in the shape of Nevada, and they carry our wine. And we're going to be doing a tasting out there in December for that one. So.
Wow.
Sounds like a full plate. Give us all the information about Churchill Vineyards, the address, how to get a hold of you, website. You know, I have to tell everyone something, too, before we went any further here. I was talking to Ashley earlier, and she asked about our Facebook page. And while I was talking to her, she immediately popped in on it. So she is computer savvy. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, we are on Facebook.
Yeah, so tell us about all the your website, your Facebook, any way anyone wants to get in touch with you and any way they can. Give us all the information.
Sure. Our website is churchillvineyards.com, and our phone number is going to be 775-423-4000. We're open by appointment only, so give us a call if you want to come on down, and you can expect a tour and maybe a small little tasting. And visit us on Facebook, and you can just search us by Churchill Vineyards, and we'll pop up.
Fantastic. And they are the website is info@churchillvineyards.com. One H. Churchill.
Yep, that's our email address.
I said website, email address, churchillvineyards.com. The website is churchillvineyards.com, just straight churchillvineyards.com. Only one H, though, on there. So if you're typing
that's
in
right. Yeah.
Type 2, then it may send you somewhere else. Ashley, mm-hmm. thank you very much for taking time with us this afternoon or this evening for us. It was great. You had a lot of information and really enjoyed it. And the best of luck to you. If I'm ever out in that area, I will definitely give you a call and stop by and visit.
Sounds wonderful, and thank you for having me.
Oh, by all means. Thank you very much. Now.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. That was fun.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah.
We had some nice listeners tonight. Nice information about Nevada. I mm-hmm. was surprised of Nevada's possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. That surprised me. The possibility is what is available to grow and to do in Nevada. That I did not expect that.
My figure is correct. We just talked to 2/3 of the wineries in Nevada.
That is correct.
Wow, I thought for sure there would be more because of the climate. But then you're thinking, okay, they have blistering hot summers. It's dry out there, but dry is good, and they're doing very well. It sounds like so that's wonderful. Maybe they'll spark some more interest in Nevada. And who knows? Maybe there's some other people out there in Nevada who are already experimenting with vines and everything, and they just haven't come out yet as far as a business goes. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like they're farming, and then let's try something else. See what else we can do, and they're cropping up. So,
and what's what I mentioned to Bill too, and the fact that I'm surprised that some vineyards or some wineries in California haven't pursued planting vineyards in Nevada.
Oh yeah,
because the land has to be cheaper
mm-hmm.
than you're going to find in California. The government pretty much just ignores you, from what Bill was saying. They're more mm-hmm. concerned about the gambling. That's where the money comes from. They, the vineyards and wineries are just sort of there. And
they have gambling. They have gambling in Nevada. Wow.
Yeah, Indians, just like here in Florida.
Right. Never thought. Okay.
Yeah. Hard Rock Cafe.
Unless California has, I don't know if they have any restrictions of importing grapes from nearby states. Maybe there's some kind of maybe the wineries in California have considered it, but there's some kind of I don't know if there's if there's a restriction against you can't get your grapes from some other state. I don't know.
But, they can't use the California designation on the label.
Right.
That's one thing that they wouldn't be able to do. But, if you're getting phenomenal grapes and you can get it cheaper with less water and less cost, forego the California designation, especially, some of these wineries that, that are enormous. I mean, there's California, we've talked about some of them that are just, thousands and thousands of acres. If they can do it cheaper in Nevada.
Well, I know from driving, because I drove, how long ago was this? 89, 90, somewhere around there. But going across the state line in a truck, there's an agricultural station.
Yes.
And if you're carrying agriculture products, they have heavy restrictions on shipping into California. They don't want the bugs that we have, I guess. I mean, there's more to it, but they're very, very strict on transportation of agriculture, like fruits and things, across the state line into California. You can do whatever you want to going out of it, but coming into it,
you know, it's, and I'm wondering if there's some kind of, you know, I don't know. I mean,
good point though, because I've traveled that route and I've been inspected, and it could be something about coming in, bringing in bugs or something, because
it's like the oranges here. I mean, there's agriculture stations on I-10 coming into Florida. You know, if you're carrying oranges or something from out of state, you know, they give you problems about that. But there's all kinds of things you have to do to protect that. But
Good point. Maybe, I don't know, if somebody's out there listening, you know that, you know, email us and let us know.
Yeah. Oh, we'll just wait here.
Yeah.
There's that sound again.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Maybe not. Hit the stop button. Hit the stop button. There you go.
Hit the stop button.
Crickets are enjoying this weather as well.
They are.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, that's cool. I'm glad we had a very, very interesting guest on tonight, and definitely appreciate that. And looks like they're doing very well. So
amazed me. It really did amaze me what Nevada had to offer. I'm impressed.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much for Bill and Ashley being on the program. That was great.
Yeah, Bill and Ashley, if you're listening, thank you. We do appreciate you taking your time to join us. And Churchill Vineyards up there, I mean, they call it vineyards, but it's so much more involved than just a vineyard. I was going to ask Bill, too, and I forgot about his restaurant, the Symphony Restaurant. It's they recommend reservations for dinner, and they said lunch, no reservation needed, but for dinner it fills up, and it's, you know, it's a little bit classier dining and stuff like that. So
yeah,
something
business
that they
casual,
have.
I think. Yeah, I think I read business casual dining, and it definitely sounds like it's upscale, but it's kind of like a relaxed upscale, you know. It's,
right. Yeah.
Really interesting.
So cool. Yeah, it was a fun trip out to Nevada tonight.
So do we need to cover Nevada next week on solar?
For the one more winery? No, I don't think so. I think we pretty much found out what we want. The other winery is Tahoe Ridge Winery. Mm. And Tahoe Ridge Winery is located not too far from Churchill Vineyards. They're within about half hour, 40 minutes from Churchill. So we can... pretty much say Tahoe Ridge is going to have the same climate and everything else as Churchill, and let it go at that. I tried to call them once, and the phone was busy, and I didn't try again because I got a hold of the other two, and
very cool. All right, what are we looking at next week?
Next week, I think we go to Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Let me find. Yeah. I just looked up Tahoe Ridge, and it's really not far at all from.
The only thing that would have probably affected is if the elevation changed dramatically or anything. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, they're just little south, and then west of. Just south of Carson City, actually, the capital is Tahoe Ridge. Next week, we are going to go to Ohio.
Oh, it's Ohio.
We might be spending a couple of 3 weeks in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, 127 wineries there.
Okay.
127 wineries in Ohio. They are all over the state. I've been to a few of them down right on the Kentucky border. And visiting there, there's a lot of them up by Lake Erie, but that also, not just there, about the only bare spot where there's not very many wineries in the southeast and in the northwest. So there's 127 wineries in Ohio, so we may be spending a couple of 3 weeks there trying to, you know, find out about all the regions and stuff and everything and what they're doing and what they're making and all that. It should be
almost
fun.
Like another New York.
It's a lot of wineries there, so it should be fun. Okay. We're heading out to Ohio next. Then we'll be going to Oklahoma after that. And Oklahoma is got some, but no, not a lot. Well, actually, they do got quite a few wineries in Oklahoma. I just pulled up a chart here, and I noticed that Oklahoma's got a lot more than I expected to see. So,
that'll be
in Oklahoma.
Okay. So October 6th, that's next Thursday, October 6th. Mark your calendars, folks. Or better yet, follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can create a free account just as a listener. You don't have to broadcast anything, but you can create an account, and you can follow us on here. And every time we have a show come up, it will send you an email and let you know that we've got a show scheduled and what the topic is and all that kind of stuff. So you can do that. And I was just going to mention this, but we were featured for a couple of days on Blog Talk Radio's front page, and that gained us quite a few new followers. So I'd like to welcome them if you're out there listening, and we appreciate that. Thank you for following us, and you get added to our list. It's almost like a like Facebook type of thing where you see who else is following and that kind of thing. And we like to see that. So log into Blog Talk Radio as a listener, and go to our show page, and you can follow the shows. And every time something gets scheduled, like I said, it'll tell you, and it'll let us know that you're out there and you're interested in the program as well as a listener. So definitely do that. And thank you to the new people who joined us over the past week. It must have been based on our front page listing. So that was really cool when I saw those come in. I thought, whoa, wow, okay,
yeah.
It's working.
We were excited about that. That was great to see that. Knowing that people enjoy this, that's always good. We're sitting here and talking to each other, we don't know if anybody else is listening or if it's just us. So it's always good to see other people out there tuning in and enjoying it. So I agree with Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, very cool. And we know that they're listening because on the other statistics page, there's over 8,000, 9,000 something people who have been listening to us since the first of the year. So that's and it's growing. So that was good. And it seems like when we have audio issues,
that's when people tune in.
Oh, man, they're there.
Like,
no audio for 20 minutes? You're with us.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to those, too. But that
Speaking
one show, I think.
Issues,
huh?
I asked Ashley to tell us about the spirits.
Oh.
I was knocked off the air.
There was something. We weren't knocked off completely unless you dialed in real quick, but it was
in and out
real fast. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. The screen popped up and said I was off the air, and
I didn't even recognize that because you were talking, but it was like bubbly sound, and all of a sudden you came right in there like it was nothing, and I didn't realize you got off air. I was looking, and I go, he's got audio problems.
Yeah.
Or I had audio problems. I don't know, but wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it kicked me off completely, and then I came back on. So
wow.
So the host can leave, and you can still go on.
Okay.
Because it
but
did
see,
cut
since you did
off.
That, since you did that, we're going to have about 1,000 listeners tonight. Wait, there's an audio problem? Oh, we got to listen.
There's
to
an
this.
Audio problem. We got to tune in.
So, that was pretty funny when that happened.
That's the way it works.
Yep. We just want. Yeah.
Too.
Funny.
You can always email me at allaboutwine101. That's the number 101 at gmail.com. Have any comments, any questions, anything about the show or anything, by all means, get in touch with me. I had an email a couple of weeks ago that prompted me into getting a very nice speaker on, so we do listen to you. So that's allaboutwine101@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you're in the area and you want to visit the winery that Ron is associated with, almost on a daily basis, I'm guessing, Vice President, General Manager, Winemaker, Tasting Expert, everything.
Vineyardist, the Yardman,
Plumber,
Bookkeeper.
You get the wild hogs out of the yard every once in a while. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can visit Florida State's winery at 25241 State Road 52. That is in Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is specifically a little easier to get to if you get on I-75, go to exit 285 and head west about 4 miles on State Road 52, and you will see the signs for the winery. If you're coming from the west coast of Florida, U.S. 19, U.S. 41, you'll get on State Road 52 and go east, about 21 miles from U.S. 19 and about, 10 miles or something from...
About 8 miles from 41.
Eight miles from 41. Go east, and you'll see the signs for the winery right there on State Road 52. And it looks like you're out in the middle of nowhere, and I guess in a sense you are. But
Yes, we are.
Yes. It's really a nice drive. It's really a neat drive going up there. You know, it's great that you're up there and not like on 54 that's all commercialized and everything. 52 is like a great country drive. Or for more information, you can give them a call at area code 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. That is for Florida State's winery, or visit the winery on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Floridaestateswines.com. And you can go in there. They are open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. They do wine tastings. There's a little gift shop in there. Most major credit cards are accepted, and they are closed major holidays, which I don't think there's very many holidays that you are closed. But you can also go outside in the underneath the canopy of oak trees, and you know, picnics are welcome. So, and they are pet friendly as well. So a very cool place, and definitely sample some of their world class wines, and you know, do some shopping while you're there and enjoy it. And you got like little things also related to wine. You got the bottle openers and different things like that. So whatever you need to pick up, go to Florida State's Winery on State Road 52, and they have it. So give them a call. And I think we are good here until October 6th, and we will start on Ohio. So
Ohio.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
Thank you all
for listening to the show tonight. You don't have any events coming up this weekend. I think it's...
Nothing this weekend, no. If you want to join us on Facebook, you can join the winery on Facebook at Florida Estates Wines on Facebook, or you can join the program here on Facebook at All About Wine BTR. Both of those Facebook pages are there, and we keep you informed of what's happening and all that on those too. So
And I subscribed on my cell phone too to that, and so I get every time you post something about a show, I get it on my cell phone, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You can stay connected that way. I stay connected that way, and it's a great way to keep up with the show and everything. So join the show on Facebook, join the winery on Facebook, and you'll be informed of everything. So very cool. We'll see you all October the 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Yep, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for listening to the show tonight, and hope
thank
you
everyone.
Archive listeners, thank you there as well, and we'll see you all next time. Thanks. Thank you, and have a great week. Great
see you all next time.
Yep, thank you.
And...